Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
And I am coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Shout outs to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. People at work, people at home, people on the roads, people who were tuned in to Monday Night Football. People who watched and people who listened to the Seattle Seahawks just decimate the New York Giants 24-3. Daniel Jones currently speaking to the media right now saying, I let the team down and I have to fix it. Well, he can't protect himself, throw and run. I mean, damn, Daniel Jones sacked 10 times tonight. And the Seattle Seahawks, they tie a franchise record 11 sacks. They also had a pick six. They also had another interception. They also forced a fumble against Daniel Jones. They made Daniel Jones their, they made him their you-know-what, okay? Damn. The Seattle Seahawks improved to 3-1. The New York Giants fall to 1-3. This was their second home game of the season. Let's keep this in mind. The New York Giants open up the season against the Dallas Cowboys, and for America to watch, the New York Giants got smoked 40-0. And once again tonight, they get smoked again at home 24-3. We're going to hear some of the players. Daniel Jones is speaking right now. We're going to hear from Pete Carroll. We're going to hear from Brian Daboll, head coach of the New York Giants. We're going to hear some of the plays. This game was kind of funky from the get-go. Jamal Adams returned, and then he gets a big hit, and then ultimately he has to leave. Ironically, Daniel Jones knees him in the head, and as fast as he returns, Jamal Adams is out with a concussion. Thank God it, I don't know if it's worse, a torn quad in your leg. I don't know. He's gone. Hopefully he's healthy. And the New York Giants just look like, it looked like crap, man. And Daniel Jones, 1-12 record in primetime games. 1-12. Like, how is that even possible? It has to be an accident, right? Anyway, I need to let you know a few things. Thank you to super producer and host Dave Shepard. I'm in Atlanta. He's holding it down in New York. Thank you to everybody listening on our many Odyssey stations affiliates all over the country. Thank you to people tuned in on the Odyssey app. Thank you to people tuned in on SiriusXM 158, smart speakers, and what have you. If you want to talk to me, it's simple. The phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. This game started off rather interesting. A lot of penalties. But ultimately, we found out before the game we were not going to see Saquon Barkley. Still dealing with that high ankle sprain. He wasn't going to be able to go out there and give it a go. And so what did that mean? That means the New York Giants, once again, missing their largest and biggest offensive weapon. And after that, it wasn't a lot of the Seattle offense. That really wasn't kicking. Geno Smith had to go down and get an x-ray in the back right before halftime. We even saw Drew Lock. It's the defense that went to work. New York Giants fumbled the ball. Daniel Jones was sacked. It was recovered by Jordan Brooks early on in the first half, in the first quarter, I should say. And then right after that, Seattle was able to put a touchdown on the board. Let's go ahead and take a listen to that touchdown right out of the gate, coming off of a turnover. This is Geno Smith throwing a 6-yard pass to DK Metcalf. Take a listen, Seahawks Radio Network.
Awaiting the snap, Geno takes it, steps up in the pocket, scrambles away to his right side, looking to the end zone, fires a dart in the back of the end zone. DK, does he have his feet? And he does! Touchdown, Seahawks! DK Metcalf with the rope-a-dope in the back of the end zone, hands down by his sides. Geno fires a bullet, and Metcalf reacts, makes the catch, feet in, 6 points Seahawks.
Not just the touchdown, but the overall experience has to feel good for Geno Smith. He returns to MetLife Stadium, where he was a starter at one point for the New York Jets, and also was a starter who relieved Eli Manning for the New York Giants. And so he has to feel good. I told you that Geno Smith did go down with a knee injury. He was able to come back in the second half. And Drew Lock, he did take over. And Drew Lock is in the game. And he helped set up Kenneth Walker for a rushing touchdown that put Seattle up, ultimately, 14-3. Take a listen to this run. This is in the second quarter.
Ken Walker the third, the single setback. Bobo is slotted inside of Metcalf to the left. Will Disley, the tight end, on the right. Motion is Bobo. Hand off to Walker inside. He is in! Touchdown, Seahawks!
At that point, 14-3. And that was the score at halftime. We go into halftime. It's 14-3 Seattle. You would think somehow, some way that the New York Giants have some life. It didn't go their way. Okay? We continue on here in the third quarter, and we can go ahead and move all the way until about, I don't know. Oof. This is pretty bad now that I think about it. Daniel Jones takes the New York Giants into their own red zone. The New York Giants may have a chance and an opportunity to put some points on the board and make this a game. But Daniel Jones throws an interception that goes to Devin Witherspoon. It goes for 97 yards the wrong way. This is courtesy of the Seahawks Radio Network.
Seattle looks like they want to rush four. And they do. Jones is going to throw. Throws near side. Ball picked up. Witherspoon comes near side. Down the sidelines. Jones chasing him. He cuts back inside. Picks up blockers. Still being chased. Witherspoon far side. 20, 15, 10, 5. He is in. Holy catfish. Witherspoon went a mile and a half with the interception for a touchdown. Jones looks left. Witherspoon dinks him into throwing. And then picks it off and goes from about the 3-yard line, the length of the field. Are you kidding me? 97 yards. Witherspoon, unbelievable.
Devin Witherspoon, who was the fifth pick in this year's draft out of Illinois. And oh yeah, by the way, he was able to, Seattle was able to have that pick as a part of the Russell Wilson trade. This man didn't just have a pick six. This dude also sacked Daniel Jones twice. He had two sacks on the night, including that 97-yard pick six that you just heard. And this was a disaster night for Daniel Jones. The offensive line did not help him out at all. Not having Saquon Barkley did not help him. And after that 97-yard pick six, head coach of the New York Giants, Brian Daboll, was all up in his face. And you could be a poor lip reader. It was very clear. He was saying to him, why the hell did you do that? What the hell were you doing? And so I guess this wasn't easy. when Daniel Jones threw another interception after he was pressured. Listen to this.
Second and 10 from the 44. Jones drops back again. Steps up. Fires it high over the middle and intercepted.
Yep.
Diggs with the pick. Diggs makes a man miss. Diggs to the near sideline across midfield and tackled at the Giant 44.
They were all up in his face. Daniel Jones couldn't even breathe. And then he got sacked again. This also from the Giants radio network.
Devon Witherspoon went 97 yards for a pick six. All she wrote, Jones back. He's going to get sacked for an 11th time. Nwosu got after him and forced the fumble recovered by the Giants.
It's just pitiful, man. It's sad. And, yeah, so the New York Giants, they lost 24-3. Daniel Jones was a human pinata tonight. A bunch of guys that they basically pulled off of the street to work the offensive line. And for the season, Daniel Jones has been sacked 22 times this year. 10 of those sacks coming tonight. And the Seattle Seahawks, they tie a franchise record with 11 sacks. Someone who was real happy, giddy about their performance, happened to be the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. That's Pete Carroll. I mean, when you watch a defense dominate like this, I guess it all sounds like fun. And Pete Carroll said, oh, hell yeah. It's a lot of fun. Listen to this.
Oh, we had so much fun tonight. Golly, that was fun playing football. One of the first things that comes to my attention is the guys that continue to step up and play for other guys.
Someone who's not having fun. The guy who got sacked 10 times. The guy who threw a 97-yard pick six. The man who got beat up behind a makeshift offensive line without one of their star offensive players, Andrew Thomas, who just got paid, is Daniel Jones. Somebody hand him some Advil, some Bengay, some Icy Hot, whatever the hell Shaq is selling. Give him some. Daniel Jones says, their defense? Oh, yeah. They whooped us. Listen to this.
Rush well together. Good pass rush to play hard. And that's the way most teams in this league are. So, you know, I got to do a better job getting the ball in my hand and getting completions.
Oh, easier said than done, right? Well, talking about completions. What about the 97-yard completion you threw to the other team? What did you think about that, Daniel Jones?
Poor decision. I just thought it was soft, trying to find someone in the zone, and poor decision on that. Can't afford to make that mistake.
Oh, yeah, Brian Daboll told us all publicly it was a poor decision as he cussed this man out publicly. Daniel Jones, 2 interceptions, sacked 10 times tonight, 2 fumbles, lost one of the fumbles. And oh yeah, by the way, because there is no Saquon and he is the offense, this isn't all his fault now. He was the leading rusher for the Giants. 10 carries for 66 yards. The next highest rusher, Matt Breida for the Giants, 14 carries for 30 yards. This whole thing was pathetic. No Saquon Barkley. The Giants don't stand a damn chance to do anything. Anything. One of the wide receivers, he's supposed to be out there helping things out. Darius Slayton, he only had 2 receptions for 23 yards. And so what do you think about the offense and your QB? Tell me, Darius, what do you say?
Defense played about as good as they could play. You know, they held them multiple occasions. And, you know, on offense, we were able to put together a couple of drives, but we just didn't finish in the end zone. And ultimately, if you don't finish in the end zone, you're not scoring points. If you don't score points, you can't win the game.
Yeah, we know that. The Giants fans were leaving in droves. ESPN had a field day showing fans with bags on their heads. They had a field day showing empty sections and empty blocks of MetLife Stadium. They absolutely loved when the fans filed out of the stadium. They loved the outdoor shot with the helicopter as the fans sat in their cars in like the third and fourth quarter trying to get out of the parking lot while the game was still on. Seattle dominated 24-3, and the New York Giants are an embarrassment. I know the New York Jets have gotten a lot of attention over the past several weeks with Aaron Rodgers going down and the poor performances of Zach Wilson and Joe Namath. The Giants are about to get more attention because they're pathetic. Two home games, they've been outscored 64-3. Let me say that again. In two home games, 64-3. The Giants got a whole lot of luck that went their way last year. A whole lot of games that went their way this year. They're not even doing anything this season. The New York Giants fall to 1-3. Seattle improves to 3-1. With their record, they actually got a bye week right now, the 17-game season. And Seattle won't be back in action until the 15th against Cincinnati. And the New York Giants, they have Miami up next. Miami going to light them up. They have Buffalo after that. Buffalo is going to light them up. And so between the New York Jets and the New York Giants, football in New York City, not Buffalo, not in the state, but in the city, it's just sad.
Jersey.
The New York Jets, the New York Giants, these are two teams, man. Their fan bases should just start a support group. They all need a little bit of help. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I wish there was a solution here for the New York Giants, but there is one. I'm not blaming Daniel Jones. I'm not pinning the loss. I'm not pinning the offense on him. It's the offensive line. It's still the lack of weapons. It's not having Saquon Barkley. It's not the coach's fault. I don't even want to say it's Joe Shane's fault. This is a team that overshot expectations last year. This is still a rebuilding New York Giants squad. Last year gave them reason for optimism where maybe they shouldn't need it a whole lot or didn't deserve a whole lot of it. Yeah, they beat the Minnesota Vikings, but come on, we knew they weren't contenders. And it was surprising that they went to the postseason. The only thing saving them is to get through this season some type of health and get Daniel Jones, who you're paying $40 million to a year, get this dude some weapons. Unfortunately for the Giants, they ain't had no options of bringing in another QB. And now they're stuck with this one, who happens to just be, I'd say, at best, average. He needs help. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to get to your calls on the other side of the break. Let's talk about these Giants. Let's talk about these Seahawks. And then we're also going to hear from someone about the offensive line. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, how you doing, man? I'm a big fan. I like what you do, man. I enjoy your show. You be on point, brother. You doing the thing, man. Just wanted to commend you about that.
Hey, JR, I love your show, man. I really appreciate what you're doing. You like the Webster of sports.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Yeah, the phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. Seattle tonight, Monday Night Football. They beat the New York Giants 24-3. They sacked Daniel Jones 10 times. They had a franchise record, 11 sacks total on the night. One of the Giants wide receivers got in on the action. He got hit behind the line of scrimmage. He got sacked. 11 sacks, franchise record. This is... I can't, it's not even words here for how bad the New York Giants have looked. And I appreciate this because Daniel Jones says it's my fault. The head coach, Brian Daboll of the New York Giants, he says it's my fault. A matter of fact, this is what Brian Daboll had to say after the game. He was taking responsibility. He's like, man, we could all do better, especially me. Listen to this.
Well, we didn't play a complimentary football game. So turned the football over, had some opportunities, but didn't score any points. Didn't get the job done.
Well, someone who also says we didn't get the job done was one of their offensive linemen. One of them who is, I actually know who he is, and he's healthy. It's not Andrew Thomas. He was hurt. A lot of shots of him standing around on the sidelines. It was Evan Neal. And he said, the loss tonight, 11 sacks. We got four different Seahawks with two sacks. Evan Neal says, blame us, the offensive line.
I mean, we take responsibility for those 11 sacks. I mean, we just have to play better. There's no excuse for it. But we come into work every day. We work hard. We put our best foot forward. And right now, we're just not playing our best ball.
Yeah, well, damn it. We have four games to see, y'all. Y'all barely beat Arizona. It took a come-from-behind victory for the New York Giants to beat the Cardinals. Pathetic. 855-212-4CBS. Johnny's calling from Atlanta. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Johnny.
What's going on, JR? I told you I called in every time you talked about Daniel Jones. He's not worth the money. He overpaid for him, and he's a mediocre quarterback. I'm sick and tired of these people paying for these mediocre quarterbacks that haven't proven nothing in the NFL. And not only him, I would not pay Lamar Jackson either. He haven't proven nothing to be a read coverage or nothing.
He has he won an MVP award. The guy won an MVP. He's one of the most dynamic quarterbacks that we've ever seen. If there is any major issues surrounding Lamar Jackson, it'd probably be whether or not he'd be able to finish up a season and be healthy. But to say that Lamar Jackson hasn't proven anything and is not worth the money, I don't know if I want to trust you or the Ravens management. I think I'd go with their management. 855-212-4CBS. Mark is calling from California. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Man, some of your callers, JR, just, whew. Listen, so we had Ben McApoop. He went 11-5 his first year on a Hail Mary to Beckham should have pushed what's-his-face out of bounds. Rodgers threw a Hail Mary. 11-5 his first year. Then the next year, awful. I've been saying it, man. I said Dable's a great offensive mastermind, and everyone was saying that Dable and Kafka – it's going to work out. Remember, Kafka came from Kansas City, where he arguably has the best quarterback in football in Patrick Mahomes. So he's trying to scheme up plays for Daniel Jones. And if you watch tonight's game, I sat there at the bar and watched the entire game. He just stands in the pocket, a.k.a. like another quarterback we had. His name's Eli Manning. And that last interception was typical Manning. He threw it off his back foot, over the middle. You never do that. And when Dable was yelling at him, I don't know if you thought this, JR. I thought, like, Dable actually thought coming into the year, we're getting Waller. He's supposed to create Separage over the middle. He got Paris Campbell, another speedster. Everyone's talking about Barkley. I'm like, dude, he's one guy. Number one, he should be able to make plays work without Barkley. And I understand he's a big part of it, but come on. The offensive line is banged up. Wink Martindale looks like the reason nobody hired him was because of this right now. Can't coach a defense. Man, this has, like, you know, Wilson written all over it. A.K.A. the other quarterback for the Jets, Zach Wilson. Who's better? I'm like, dude, I'm picking Miami's defense. And I think the Giants are going to get destroyed against two good offenses in Miami.
That's not a stretch. We've been there and said that. The New York Giants, I have no idea where they would get any type of points from taking on Miami and then looking at Buffalo in the face, and that'll be another primetime matchup. We know Daniel Jones is now 1-12 in primetime matchups. It's just ugly all across the board. And for Daniel Jones, I mean, is he worse than Zach Wilson? Daniel Jones has at least been been proven to at least be an average starter in the NFL. And if you're the New York Giants, then please, by all means, tell me what the other option would have been here. These guys did not select him. Joe Shane did not select him to be their quarterback. He ain't picked this dude up out of North Carolina and say, hey, this is our dude. Dave Gettleman did that. And so the New York Giants decided, hey, well, this was our best option. And for last year, it worked. And they wanted to continue to build off of that, except for they're not. It's like they're actually looking at reality right now that, yeah, they're still a rebuilding football team. 855-212-4CBS. Don is calling from Boston. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Don?
Hey, JR. How you doing?
Very well, man.
Hey, yeah, I just want to comment. Both of those teams for New York City, you're right, not the state, but from New York City, back in the heyday, both of those teams were excellent teams. Back in the days of Mark Bavaro and Al Toon, and I don't know what's going on. These guys are getting paid big money. You figure they'd be ready to go. You know, like you said, the Cowboys rolled all over them. You know, but maybe it's not just those two teams in New York. I mean, the Patriots were a powerhouse at one time, and the Cowboys steamrolled them. So I don't know if you have, you know, excellent teams and not so excellent with nothing in the middle anymore. I can't figure out what's going on with some of these teams these days.
Do you feel that there is less parity in the NFL? You think it's just all or nothing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It seems like you either got a great team, you know, like Patrick Mahomes or you know, Buffalo or you know, Miami, or you know, you got a New England now, or you got one of the New York City teams, you know, and there's a couple other teams to go in that category too. I mean, you're going to have your mediocre teams, but I don't know. It just seems more prevalent these days that you're either outstanding or you're just not cutting it. So
it feels that way in sports in a lot of cases. Thank you so much, Don, for calling from Boston. I mean, we can go ahead and look at the haves and the have-nots. All things considered, I would still say the best team in football right now would probably be the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, they are a perfect 4-0. It didn't take too much for them to go out and smack Arizona yesterday, 35-16. You have Christian McCaffrey, who goes out there, has four touchdowns. If you're going to ask me about, like, okay, who's at the top of the top, it's San Francisco. And then we know about the joke teams. Unfortunately for the New York City metropolitan area, you know, the Jets are 1-3. The New York Giants are 1-3. And then we got the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, pretty miserable right now. 0-4. The only other team 0-4, Carolina. They're throwing out a rookie quarterback who's running around on a bum wheel. It's tough luck. That's life. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to talk about a player that I don't know. Maybe the Bears can get him. He's going to get drafted somewhere. Maybe he ends up on one of the he's not going to end up on one of the New York teams. Or maybe he will. I have no idea. We're going to talk about Caleb Williams from USC on the other side of the break. I'm going to get to more of your calls as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR. Man, I'm good. I'm so excited to be on your show. I listen to you every night on my way home from work.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
You know, we've reached the point already in the NFL season. Four games have gone by. Week four has gone by. We see what teams are just staring the bottom of the barrel in the face. Chicago Bears don't have a victory. Carolina Panthers don't have a victory. Arizona Cardinals, they barely have a victory. And you start to look around and you say to yourself, okay, who's going to be the worst? Like, what team is absolutely going to suck so bad that they're going to be at the top of the standings, that they can already, you could say, be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes and grab this QB out of USC? This man continued to light it up on Saturday. And I watched the game, and I watched in and out at the end as USC was beating the snot out of Colorado. The final score was 48-41. At one point, USC led 34-7. To end the first half, it was 34-14. And you just thought that Colorado was going to get smacked again like Oregon did. But they were able to fight back into the game, only losing by one score. Shedeur Sanders having another awesome game, just 371 yards passing, four touchdowns. But it didn't touch what Caleb Williams did. Six touchdowns, 403 yards on the season for USC, undefeated at 5-0. Caleb Williams has 1,600 yards passing to go along with 21 touchdowns and one interception, of which he just threw in that game. And so for all these miserable NFL teams out right now, not Carolina because they ain't going and taking another QB, but for Chicago, maybe Arizona, Caleb Williams is staring at you right in the face, unless he and his dad feel that the team sucks so bad that they don't need to even bother. They should probably go back to college. We'll see what happens there. Hey, Caleb Williams, he actually spoke after the game. And let's see how ready he is for showtime when speaking to the media. This is what he had to say about that USC win over Colorado.
A lot of credit goes to the offensive line. You can't have how many ever passing yards I had or touchdowns, or you can't have it as many rushing yards as we had, you know, without them. Wide receivers catching the ball, doing the job, you know, running backs, you know, carrying out fakes and things like that. So it's a team effort for me to go out there and put up those lines.
Oh, look at that. Huh. The quarterback showing love to the offensive line. I guess it's the reverse tonight. The offensive line says we sucked, and that's why Daniel Jones got sacked 10 times. Well, it's all about the offensive line. I told you about Shedeur Sanders and his numbers. Despite the loss, he had four touchdowns himself, 371 yards passing. His dad, Dion, he talked positively about his kid. Listen.
If we would have got that ball last, we were going to go down and score. We knew that. We know that. Everybody in here knows that. His teammates knew that. And that's just what he brings to the table. He's unflappable. And he's very wise and understanding on the whys and the calls in what he sees out there on the field.
Well, I mean, this is a guy who's been groomed since day one. Dion has been his coach since day one. I mean, from being a kid, obviously, to high school, to college. And Shedeur is certainly one of the best quarterbacks in the entire country right now. Lincoln Riley, he gets a chance to look at Caleb all the damn time. And he was happy with what they did, his team, USC, in the first half.
Fired up to get the win. Guys played a really good first half, probably the best first half we've played all year here against a good opponent and a tremendous atmosphere. And we give Colorado, their fans, everybody a lot of credit. And another, you know, it was really a tremendous road atmosphere. Even when we got up, that they kept, you know, kind of kept it loud in there. And I felt like kind of kept their team in it in a lot of ways.
Caleb Williams sweepstakes is on. Really is. Lincoln Riley holding things down out at USC. There's another guy from USC coaching tonight. He's still going strong at 72 years old. Pete Carroll killing it. Hey, Shub, what are your thoughts on this this man, Pete Carroll?
Well, JR, I mean, we're seeing a lot of Giants footage, and I understand a lot of people are going to be New York-centric, and that's well and good and understandable. But I look at a 72-year-old man that's connecting with two generations that are now younger than him, It's incredible what this guy is able to do as a head coach. We talk about this all the time, what makes a successful NFL head coach. And the two things that always come up, JR, is how they are in terms of delegating power, and secondly, what they are in terms of leaders of men. And for this guy to do what he's doing at 72 years old, and it seems like what everyone wants to talk about is not giving it to Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl 8 years ago, I think he's well past that. And JR, there has never been somebody this age, no disrespect to Marv Levy, George Halas, Romeo Crennel, when he was an interim head coach, that has been able to connect and resonate with a generation two times removed. He's not going to get any credit because he coaches out in Seattle, and I think that is so unjust and unfair. And because he's on the West Coast, JR, I think people are missing the boat on this guy. He is one of the all-time great personalities and head coaches, and I've never seen anything like him. I just want to know if you agree with that at all.
You said a lot. Agree with what?
Fair enough. Just what, JR, there's nobody like this guy in the history of football, not to mention all the success he had as a college coach at USC, speaking of Lincoln Riley.
Well, hold up, slow down.
Yes, yes.
I mean, what's the question?
I guess to simplify this, this is my question for you. Is it fair to say at this point he is already one of the all-time great coaches in the history of football? Not just the NFL, but in all of football.
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame, yes.
Okay, gotcha. I can't think of a guy that's had that much success at the NFL level and that's also translated to college football. Obviously, Barry Switzer, Jimmy Johnson. I think he is one of one in that specific regard. We saw what Saban did in the NFL.
I'm not going to go on a stretch and go through 100-plus years of football and say, man, there's never been one of him or anybody like him. I mean, certainly given the era that we live in and how the game is played, that can certainly be true. But I'm not going to slap him in there in 100-plus years of football. But he is deserving of credit. And I think it's like anything else. When you're so used to something, it doesn't get the attention. I mean, let's think about this. This man has been the head coach now for the better part of 12, 13 years. Bill Belichick is now pretty much on the opposite end of the spectrum. Despite all of the success that he's been able to have, and yes, it is with Tom Brady, I mean, this guy's getting his behind kicked in the court of public opinion. And so even someone with infinite success like him gets criticized. So, look, this man is there. He's been consistent. He's been a constant. He's had to go through the Russell Wilson era. And now he has a second lease at life who's also pretty much running with him in the same regard, and that's Geno Smith. And so, yeah, man, kudos to Pete Carroll. It's good to see him rolling and running. And the thing that I enjoy about coaches in the NFL, they're not all the same. Like, you won't see Pete Carroll respond the way that Brian Daboll did tonight. You won't typically see Bill Belichick destroy someone like Daboll did. We see the Dan Campbells and the Mike McDaniels of the world, and it's cool to get different personalities. And Pete Carroll, especially now given his age, he certainly stands out. So good on you for picking that up and sharing that shot.
Well, thank you, JR. And like you said, I mean, for him no disrespect to Geno Smith, but I mean, Pete Carroll resurrected this guy's career. So what he's been able to do now with two different quarterbacks when it seems like Belichick can't even do it with one is just remarkable. And he's 72 going on 22.
Yeah, well, circumstance is not necessarily the same. I'm not gonna kick Belichick for what he gets here. Look, Pete Carroll had Russell Wilson at the end, and how did that look? It ain't look good. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. We got Beck calling from Florida. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Beck.
How's it going, guys? Shout out to Vassal, FSU guy getting his money. I wish it was with a different team, though.
The Spurs?
Maybe maybe something down a little bit southern in a different state. But with all the nonsense this team has done with their roster and
what
recently.
Slow down, Beck. We don't know what team
Miami Heat. The Heat, sorry. Yes.
Okay. But, yes, go ahead.
But, John, I don't know if you saw it. I mean, the ending of that Raiders game this weekend. But I don't know, other than the internet and stuff, but Josh McDaniels, when is this the final straw going to be with this guy? I mean, he's been a bum as a head coach since day one, and thank God my other team, the Colts, didn't get him, but then he goes to my Raiders, and they turn that franchise into the Patriot regime, too, and it's the biggest laughing stock. I can't even watch the games anymore.
Yeah, are you done?
No, I don't know. I mean, because he's not going to get fired definitely midseason, but, I mean, he should have been fired that game the Raiders, on the field.
Come on, man. Are you surprised? Are you a Raiders fan?
Yes.
Are you sound surprised, are you?
No, I'm not surprised, but I'm saying when's enough where we could – I mean, again, this has been going on years. Jack Del Rio, I think, was the greatest Raider coach, and they got rid of him to go with Gruden.
It might be the end of the season. Maybe Mark Davis will watch television and want to hire another coach that he sees on a primetime show, okay?
Right, but GM too, like coach and GM. They're both
years. Enjoy the losses for the Raiders, and then just hopefully look out for a pick. I know something that you can't count on. You can't count on Jimmy Garoppolo being healthy. You can't do that. The Raiders are 1-3. Davante Adams is probably already sick of being there. I mean, there's already been talks about Davante Adams, and oh my God, if he is to be traded, where is he gonna go? It's the Raiders are a lost cause, man. What else is new? Did anybody? I'm not gonna even go there. We've already had a tragedy here. Chandler Jones had to get cut, released. Just seemingly mental issues last year. One of their players is. Oh my God! It's just people killing people in cars, and the Raiders are just sad on and off the field, man. There's really no other way to look at it. 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to get some more of your calls. Just a disaster night for the New York Giants. They lose again publicly for the world to see. Primetime game. Seattle dismantles them 24-3. I'm going to get some more of your calls about the Seahawks, about these New York Giants. Today was NBA Media Day. New York City football sucks. We got a lot more to do. I'm going to get to your calls right on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
I'm Eli Roth, and the upcoming second season of my podcast, A Ghost Ruined My Life from Travel, you'll hear real, horrifying accounts from actual victims who came face-to-face with a paranormal and survived.
It was the shape of a small human, and it was pure blackness, like nothing I've ever seen before in my life.
A ghost? You saw a ghost?
Yeah, I did.
Listen to A Ghost Ruined My Life with Eli Roth from Travel, wherever you get your podcasts, and prepare to be terrified.